It can't be worse than that one day, man.
She said, I'm tired. Y'all have a good day.
Give us some time. Yeah, man, we missed a week.
Sure did.
And I was uninspired. I ain't gonna lie. Like, the last few, like, episodes, like, you know, like, we were out and about and stuff like that. Wasn't really putting together much in the content bracket. And I was like, yeah, I'm uninspired right now. Like, I need to, like, live life for a little bit. Do some things. Mm. I was in the middle of a transition and everything. I was like,
I've been getting good reviews from our past few episodes.
That's good. I'm not saying they're trash. I was just, that was me. Like, for me to come out here and feel like I'm giving out my best self, I feel like a lot of people, like, they like, you know, what we do, like, as a whole anyway, just because, like, we're consistent, right? And so, like, and we could be consistently bad or consistently good, and people like it, whatever the case may be. It's for them to make a decision on, but I need to be where I need to be at to be able to, like, deliver that. You know what I mean?
So our last episode was at the beach, and I thought about something. You know, we're both dads.
Yeah.
And we're probably pretty quick to say, you know what, I'll do anything for my kids, right?
Okay.
And then there was this moment at the beach where I was like, nah, you know what, moms will stoop so much lower in life for their kids than a dad will. And I'm going to tell you what happened at the beach.
All right.
So you know how the bathroom situation.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was crazy.
It was really bad.
And there was a certain point.
For the men, not so much.
At a certain point of the day when that thing started overflowing because it just wasn't flushing no more, like, yeah, it's a wrap. So, and luckily I wasn't out there drinking like y'all, because I was like, nope, I ain't doing this. And actually, you know, whatever soaked you up, probably that a little codeine mix, that little diabetes in a cup.
Oh yeah,
probably soaked up all the liquid from your body anyway.
We're not gonna talk about it because I want to give them such like bad pub. But that shit was gross. No, I ain't gonna say the
name. That shit was Kool-Aid.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I had some.
Yeah,
but you knocked out the rest of the bottle though. You got your $10 worth
for $10. Well, we'll talk about that
anyway. So she's like, "Yeah, man. Like Zeke had to go pee, so he peed in a cup." And I was like, "Okay, I've heard you know that."
Yeah,
before,
that's pretty.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then so her and Zeke go off to the car, right? And we're just doing whatever we're doing after we're done recording. And G's like, "Dad, I gotta poop." I said, "Nope." "Nope. Nope. We're not gonna do this. I'd rather just go home. And if you shit yourself in the car, we'll worry about it. I'm not even going in there." So I'm walking towards the car, and remember, I don't know where she parked, and I'm relying on G's direction. And we got to the car, and they're in the car doing something. And she's just like, "I'm trying to help him poop." I was like, "Poop where?" She's like, "In the car." I was like, "You got him pooping in this little cup that he went peeing?" She was like, "Nah." So she took the middle console, opened it up, and put a bag in there and turned it into a toilet. And she's sitting there holding him up so he can shit into the middle console.
Hey, man, play some music.
And then
play some music.
And then once he was done, she was like, "Why are you guys here?" "Because G has to go." And then G went in right after him and did the same thing.
And they went in the thing.
Well, there was a bag, like, outlining
play some music. I don't want to play some music.
And I was
music.
Like, "Yo, we got to get out of here."
Yeah, we do.
Because I forget how crazy you get, like at the beach when it's hot, the drinks is flowing.
That's so great. Hey, look, there's not much else that you could do, but that's just crazy to me. You know what I mean?
I'm not doing that as a dad.
I'd rather, that's some wild shit, man.
I'd rather open up all the doors and try to create some sort of barrier, and you just shit on the little curb or something like that.
Play some music, man.
Then she got the nerve to throw me the bag. Talking about, "Get rid of this."
Damn, man. Play some music, man. Oh. Check it out. Yeah. I think by the time y'all get this, nah, it'd be Monday. It's today. It's live.
Yeah, we gotta do it today.
It's today.
Nah, it's not.
It's today.
Saturday.
Today is today.
It's Saturday.
Nah, it's cool. I gotta run with this. It's been a minute, so let me go ahead and let this rock real quick. To all the ladies
in the place with style. Did she call you Big Papa? Allow me to
lace these no. We talked about this. She won't.
Oh, you tried. With all the mommies.
Nothing with Poppy in it. Is where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, blunt passing, music blasting. But I just can't quit because one of these homies, Biggie got to sleep with.
Girl, I
Yeah, come on, man. Listen, I don't care. You could be at your mama's house, your auntie's house, your grandmama's house. You could be outside at these various events that's going on right now, out in Vegas on an airplane, living your best life. I don't give a damn. You could be anywhere in the world, but to hear this, you here with us. Thank you.
You ever made love between the sheets before?
Between the sheets?
I ain't never seen that. Like, going in the sheets just sounds really uncomfortable.
Like the top sheet, yes.
In between the sheets, man. So
yeah, I get warm real fast. So you, I know. Yeah, you can tell. You can tell. It's nasty. Welcome to You Wasn't Outside on the Grown Folks Podcast Network, episode 45. Is it really? Barack Obama.
There you go.
There we go. I beat you to it. Oh, this one, he start freaking it right now. Sweet loving. This for the overtime. Scarface the rapper did more than the Scarface the movie to me. Come on, man. Sir.
Just the sound of his voice is a hit.
Tell me, man, if I had
American Gangster,
if I had my DJ plan,
there's American Gangster right now.
It'd be over if I had my DJ plan.
The greatest writer of the 21st century. I make some thought-provoking shit. Y'all question where he's falling off.
I really want to know what's the name of your event going to be.
I'm really confused on this one.
My event?
Follow. When them tops come down, chicks' tops come down. When them shots come out, make cops come around. When the blocks come out, I can wake up a small town. Finish off the block, then I make my more rounds. Stairs get exchanged, then the fifth come out. The tough guy disappeared, and the bitch come out. That's him, I'm usually what they whisper about.
We out here living.
Boys chip them out.
I've been doing this since Chips was out.
Yes. I want to welcome y'all to the You Wasn't Outside podcast on the Grown Folks Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most normal ass Carl. To my right, frontish a little bit. Got my man at just. What'd you say?
We still ain't inspired.
No, I'm inspired. Out the gate. It's hot. You know, I'm trying to conserve energy. Talking is a lot of energy too. Sometimes. To my right, I got my man at Just Lex. Oh, wait a minute. This is why. Yeah, you know, it's funny when we was out there. Like
no
none of the buttons
Carter.
Was working.
I think it was user error. Just Lex.
Right out the gate, man. You still pregame?
Nah, I just game.
Yeah, I was talking to my mans about this last night.
I don't need stretch. I just go straight in the game. Put me in.
I stretch now. Yes, I be waking up stretching. But like in terms of like consumption and stuff like that, like only time I pregame is like if we're going to like an event and I know the drinks is expensive.
Oh, okay, yeah. But see, I'm all here just talking about whatever. I guess we would need to be going out somewhere to pregame. So yes, I will pregame. But
we used to pregame before we went to somebody's house too back in the day.
Yeah, but I'm saying that'll be like my game, and then maybe I'll try to get one out there to hold me over.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't doing that. Nah, they be throwing all types of ice in there.
So wait a minute. So then like let's say like if you going to the Cole concert or whatever, so would you pregame a little bit in the car before you went in?
I mean, yeah, if it comes down to that. I mean, you know. It'd be her night, so if she wants to do all that, I'm handling the driving.
Oh, okay, responsibility.
And it's not like he here, like, I gotta drive.
Right. Yeah, you gotta go to L.A. too. You know, I'm gonna go see him in Vegas.
Okay.
I don't know, man, this Delta variant got me, like, kinda, like, spooked a little bit. I don't know, but I feel like they probably over this, man. They ain't gonna close shit down.
Ain't canceling nothing.
Yeah, they gonna keep it for whatever it is.
Tours is booked.
I'm just gonna be up here elbow dapping people.
I spent a whole bunch of money on fun I ain't gonna have for another 6 months.
Man, that's sickening.
Yeah,
I bought the plane ticket. You know what's crazy? They give you the buddy pass or whatever, and you still gotta walk out of there paying the taxes on shit.
Who gave you a buddy pass?
Southwest. Not a buddy pass, but it's like a love voucher because I messed up previously before. So they gave me the love voucher, but they still made me pay.
Crazy.
It is crazy because you still got to pay for that shit, like the taxes. Just like when you use your points or whatever, you still pay like $20 to $30 in taxes.
You talking big man talk. I don't know nothing about what you're talking about.
What is it, flights?
Yeah.
You like to drive?
I don't do points, man. I do cash back on my credit card.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I was thinking about that, like the pregame, because I was talking to my man. So I was like, bro, look, you probably only getting one solid day of like all day drinking out of me, and that's it. And then, like, the next day, like, I might just be on water. Like, there's no pre-gaming. There is no getting ready for whatever, bro. Like, I just ain't got the energy for it. But anyway, so what you been up to, man?
I mean, see, we had a... I mean, it's never a dull moment in my house, I guess. We did have some interesting... you know how you go to Costco, right? And when you leave, they check your ticket.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, you know, they check it, but they ain't always really check it like that. They start doing that at Walmart now.
What you mean, like checking your, like...
They check the tickets at Walmart. And so we went to... It was actually on Father's Day. Because that's what I did with my Father's Day. I ran errands. You know, we took him out for the ice cream. Like, we were talking about... And then while I was like, oh, you know what? I need to get this oil change. So I took it to Walmart for the oil change.
Doing real dad shit.
Yeah, while the oil was changing, we did a lap in Walmart to, you know, I had to get a couple household items.
Yeah.
But I hate when she come with me.
Oh, yeah, because it ain't no couple. Because that couple items
turned into a full basket.
Yeah.
She put a whole, like, 30 by 30 rug in this cart.
30 by 30.
Had me pushing it. We had, like,
half. How much was the rug?
Half of it had to be on my shoulder to keep it in the cart.
Real dad tings.
And the rag was like a few hundred dollars.
I hate. See, that's why, like, my thing about rugs is, like, they're expensive as shit.
I went to go buy a push broom and walked out with succulents and like stain removers, like random stuff. Anyway, so.
But you have something coming up. I asked you about how things is going, and I checked, you know, my fiance's calendar, and you have some shit coming up.
Right. Well, that's not the end of the story.
I'm not saying that's the end of the story, but I'm just saying this is the reason why you're getting miscellaneous items because your house has to look presentable
for... No, I get that part. I'm just saying, like...
But what's happening at the end of the month so that our listeners know?
I'm doing a housewarming
party. There you go, man. You got to do it right when you're out there with big money out there, too.
No, man. I used all my points.
Yeah, you can't come... Hey, you're past mismatched couches now, bro. Like,
But we went to the self-checkout and, like... We spent like $300-$400 on just the whole cart, right?
Right.
And I missed something because there was a very, very tiny item that was in the bottom, and I didn't scan it or whatever. So we get to the Walmart thing, and I had noticed they were checking tickets before, but normally it's like that bullshit, like the greeting, like, okay, thank you for coming. I see that you have a receipt, so that means you paid us money, and they keep it pushing.
Okay.
She stopped us. And she did a thorough analyzation of the cart.
You look like you steal, probably. Did you go in there with no socks?
Just because she happened.
Not real shit. You go in there with no socks
on?
No,
I had a whole Father's Day fit on.
Oh, okay, then. You don't look like you steal, then.
And and so, it was like a $1.50 item, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, shit, I might have missed it. You can keep that. We got to keep it pushing. We got to go. My bad. It wasn't even nothing like that. You see, we just paid for this $300 rug, all this other stuff. Just go ahead and keep that. And then she keeps looking at the ticket and looking through the cart like, nah, something's wrong. And I'm like, no, I think we found it. Go ahead and keep that and let me go.
Right.
And she would not hold us up. Meanwhile, there's like 30 people that go past us, right? And so you, knowing my wife as well as you do, you know, like, shit's about to turn up, like, real quick. We're irritated, but she starts getting real fired up. And then, I'm like, yo, like, okay, if we can't fix this, like, I'm not trying to stand here all day. Like, let me just get all my money back, and you guys can put all this shit back on the shelves, and I can go get my car, and it is what it is. I'll get my push broom later. And
what'd she say?
And, like, I don't know, maybe there was some sort of a language barrier. Like, she was not trying to understand what I was saying. So she's finally like, nah, we taking everything back, like, just on GP. So we go take everything back, and I get my refund. And she's still fired up. She's like, she's doing that, like, talking out loud so everybody can hear it.
The lady.
No, her.
Oh, okay.
And then on the way out, she's like, nah, you know what? Never mind. I do need to talk to a manager too, right? He happened to be standing right there. She's talking to him, talking about how offended she feels that out of all the carts that were stopped, it was like ours. And it was over like a $2 item. And it wasn't like a big, like, you see all this stuff that we just bought. It wasn't like on some real shit. And you just let everybody else pass by. And he's, like, trying to do the manager thing and calm her down. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to review the footage and I'll deal with it. And she's just like, nah, I'm trying to tell you I'm offended. And he's just like, I'm not about to do all this in front of, like, outside in the front of the store. Which is, like, he's correct. You can't, like, he had, like, I have to go review the footage and blah, blah, blah. Because, I mean, I think we've all had jobs where we've been complained about to the manager. And the manager was like, yo, chill out. And you'd be like, nah, I wouldn't even like that. And they're usually on your side. But the only thing was, like, I was on her side. Like, yeah, you know, I feel offended. But at the same time, she did find something. Now, was it a big deal something? No. But it's not like she was 100% wrong. Because she did find something. And she was just like, nah, fuck it. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get the car. We out of here.
You can't get mad at loss prevention. They're preventing loss.
Right. But how much loss occurred when you were so worried about this little $1.50 item when 40 people walk out and you didn't do no type of check? That's the point.
So what was the end result in all
that? The end result is we still ain't got no rug. I still ain't got no push broom.
Oh, so you just didn't go leave.
No, we got the refund. We got the car. Kept the push. And she was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do like this Father's Day, blah, blah, blah. I was like, nah.
You done messed up my whole day today.
My day wasn't messed up. Because I wasn't trying to spend no $400 at Walmart that day.
Whatever. What you got for this week in hip hop, man? Oh, keep going. My bad. You got something new? My bad. <It's> always- You can sprinkle these in here as we go in. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you talking about what's been going on? Then you can start getting into content that I got nothing to do with what's going on.
We can sprinkle it in all day I'm long. Saying, we got, I'm saying. We got nothing but time
we
today.
We got time. Well, we got nothing but you always got nothing but time today. But you also, I came in, you forgot something again.
Yeah, it was about 20 minutes.
Delayed us about another
25.
But you left me outside.
I'm not building 10. This stuff without you. I don't want you to understand that
what
right
I'm
now.
What I'm saying is, you know, we.
Hey, but you know what? The way you be put together, like, I should have just did it. By
nah. I was on point at the beach, and I had to be. Oh, man. You and them White Claws that we still ain't getting a sponsorship from.
I don't want a sponsorship from them. You know what it was? It was actually like that Crown Apple or whatever. But what else has been happening?
First week of the daycare is in the books.
There you go. So you gonna plug them?
Plug them?
You gonna plug your daycare? Your daycare.
I was gonna like sprinkle in like a fake sponsorship, but yeah, we sponsored now by Little Dreamers Daycare.
There we go.
Of course, it's Little Dreamers, right?
That makes sense. When I heard it, I was like, yeah. That's
soon cop the VIP ticket to say, you know what?
But it appeals to like white population too and stuff like
that. No,
it
makes
like,
sense. But it's also like very her.
To like have a Cole reference,
yeah.
In there.
So yeah. You know we did. So you I was know, like, it was a
great
name.
It could be Playmates.
Nah, yeah. I feel like that's got to be taken. I mean, it's probably
no, it is taken. No,
everything's taken. It's
remember
just,
the lady that lived over here? Yeah. That's
but like, once you start moving to like, that would be San Diego. It's like Chula Vista or specifically Otay. Like, yeah. There's hella different ones or whatever. But yeah, you know, first week's in the books, and it was interesting.
Yeah,
it was a long week. Because I was home for most of it.
Mm.
So I was unpaid labor for a little bit.
Because
we do actually have a 3-month-old in the fold right off the bat. And he's great. But, you know, that comes with a lot of time commitment. And when you got a bunch of other crazy kids, including mine, who are leaders of the crazies, it gets a little tough.
A
little overwhelming at times. And, you know, so... It's obviously going to take a few weeks to iron out the kinks and, you know, so she can get her routine going to where she's focused on everybody equally plus focused on herself. Because I feel like she didn't take many breaks, wasn't eating right, you know what I mean? Just trying to get through the day. And these are long days, man. Like, they show up 6:30, 7 o'clock. They leave at 4 or 5. And, you know, so we're in grind mode right now. And I'm in the office 2 days a week, but starting in August, I'm 3 days a week. So I'm only going to be home twice to be any type of backup. And so hopefully within that, in this month, she'll get it all handled to where, she won't need me as much.
It takes some time to get there. It definitely does. It does. You got anything for this week in hip hop so I can know if I'm going to skip it or not?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to need you to start writing it in there.
Oh, I didn't. It was just something that I just think about. Off the top of your head up. So, yeah.
So, all right.
25th anniversary of It Was Written.
Oh, that was, you know, he was recently in a movie with Monster.
Nas?
Yeah, with A$AP Rocky and all of them.
Is that the one I got the
Oscar
for?
I'm sorry, It Was Written. I'm jumping ahead for... We have listeners that don't know anything about the music stuff we be talking about. So It Was Written is a Nas album.
It's the second Nas album that came out after Illmatic, 1996. His biggest single to date, If I Ruled the World, with Lauryn Hill.
I think that's his best album.
I think this generation, not this one, the current one, our generation, is probably the leading wave to where we thought that. where it's like, you know what, this one, and it was more commercial, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I even felt that way when I was younger. When I started getting older, it started getting a lot closer. Like, yeah, it's probably Illmatic.
You think so? Nah, I still.
But no, I'm not saying it is. I'm saying the gap is it's not as wide as it used to be. And the first time I saw Nas live in 09, he didn't know the words to If I Ruled the World. I was like, oh, what a shame. You don't know the words to your biggest song? It's not like you just got out of prison.
You don't know it at all.
Oh, man. What a shame.
I really do like this album, though. The Message is probably my favorite one. This is The Message that's off of that album. Here we go. I felt like he had like way better. I know he gets like the bad rap for the beats and stuff like that because that's popular opinion. But I thought that like the beat selection on this album was like really good, though, in my opinion.
The beat selection on most of his albums isn't terrible, but
there's
a string where it's just like, dude, what are you doing?
There are some where it's like, yo, what the heck is he doing? But like, but on this one, like this one, I felt like, and my other thing with Nas is like, I Gave You Power, One Mic, Rewind. He's a great storyteller, a very underrated storyteller, in my opinion.
I don't think he's underrated at all.
When I hear people talk about Nas, I don't hear them talk about like his ability to like paint a picture in your mind. Like, he's really good at that.
That's one of the first things I hear. You talk to the wrong people, though.
Maybe. But that even shows that, okay, now we're getting on to something, because I feel like there's also a generation gap amongst like yo people, like after so much time, I think rap ages like every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Like now, like you could be 4 years listening to some type of music or grow up on something, and then people's ears change. I got friends that don't evolve past like 05, like you, right?
That's not true.
Whether it be rap or R&B, right? Because even R&B has changed, right?
Yeah.
I was listening to shit, I can't get it off the top of my head right now. It's bothering me. What was I listening to earlier? Jagged Edge, Walked Out of Heaven.
Okay.
Really good song.
Classic.
Wondering why I know it word for word.
One of my favorite remakes.
Yeah.
That ain't their song.
Who sings it originally?
I forgot.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, even, like, listening to that, like, R&B is completely different now. Like, songs are way, I think this song's, like, 5 minutes long. Most R&B cuts now is about 2 or 3 minutes, attention span. You know, but I feel like I said, like, music changes every 4 or 5 years. And so, like, I would say, you know, anybody post 2017, I probably won't give them too much of a listen. It's not too many new guys that I will listen to. It just depends. You got to have a really good cosign.
But weren't you just getting on me about that same thing when I wasn't going to give too much time to
I agreed that there's a cutoff time, though.
Okay, but you were mad at me because I had already hit my cutoff time?
Yours is like 20 years ago.
It wasn't, man. It
was definitely about 20 years ago.
I'll roll with the joke, I guess.
Nah, it's all right. We can live with that a little bit. What else you got for This Week in Hip Hop? Nothing else.
The 10-year Section 80.
Okay, wait a minute. Now we bumping into something. Let's get some applauses for Section 80. So my man Mike, we were talking the other night, long story less long, Mike asked me a question, and the question that he asked was, and he wanted me to ask you this, I wasn't going to ask you, but since you said that, I guess I will. He wants to know, in his terms, when did Drake become a feature artist? And I'm going to tie in Kendrick in a second, but he wanted to know, when did Drake become a feature artist? Not the number one guy, but the guy that, like, he was on, like, just everybody shit. Like, if you got a Drake feature, you pretty much made it. That's the best way I'm going to explain that. What year would you say that was?
I feel like he kind of came out the gate pretty, maybe 2010, 10, 11?
Okay. I mean,
and he just ran with it. I mean, maybe he became even more of that in 12 and 13.
That was when, like, I said it was.
But it was also like, you know what? You still, if you had the Drake feature in 2010, 11, you were like, oh, like, this is it. And held that spot and maybe improved upon it 12, 13, 14.
And would you say he still holds that title now then? Like, if you get a Drake feature, it's like it's regarded as something. Or if Drake touches your music.
I mean, yeah, it means something different because it's like, oh, now he's had like his decade long run. So, yeah, getting a Drake feature still means something. But it's not like, oh, it's not necessarily going to be like the top of the top of the charts or whatever. It's more just like a, oh, like how the older generation looks at getting a hoe verse.
Right, that's how I look at
it. It's more approaching that status now than it is like, oh, if you have Drake on your album or the single, then it's going to go number one. Which it still may, but I feel like that part is already hit its peak and now it's more steadily going to be more on the decline.
And so he was telling me that like so then me and his man's Akeem, and I feel like Akeem says shit for hot, like shock value. You know, you think I do. He's bad. But he says to me that Kendrick has never been that guy that people wanted on features. And he doesn't put out a lot of music on people's features like that. And I beg to differ a little bit.
I see where he's coming from.
Why would you say
that? I don't think getting a Kendrick feature is going to shoot your shit to number one. Now, it may be great for like an album cut to get on your album, like a dedication with Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not going to...
It's not the same as
Drake. It's like a respect factor. Like, oh, you got Kendrick on your shit. Like, that puts you in this different light. But it's not like, oh, you got the Drake feature. You know, this song is about to do something. Kendrick's not going to put out the quote-unquote song of the summer.
Nah, he's going to give you something interesting.
Nor does he probably want to.
I don't think, at this point,
it just means something different.
Right. Yeah, I guess, you're when you put it down there and that. He was also saying that because he's not actively making music right now, too, so it's like it really holds no value. But I'm like, bro, anybody's actively making music at this point.
That's where the recency bias comes in, is where it's like, see, back when I was growing up, our favorite artists took maybe 2 years before they dropped albums. Now that seems kind of unheard of. Because if you wait more than 8 months, it's like, it feels like you haven't put nothing out in 3 years. So if you haven't put nothing out since... Damn, in 2017, or if you know,
it's been 4 years. Huh?
You count Black Panther in 2018.
That's still 3 years.
The thing is, he went dead quiet and didn't really do much at all on any type of features, like to where he's like, no, like he's doing what you were doing in the past couple weeks, living life, so he can be inspired to make another great album and then focus on that.
I think that's underrated. And I hate the fact, and I don't want to talk about this too much, but we have to talk about it. We're artists, right? Like we
are paint. We?
Yeah, we're artists. We okay. create something to be viewed. We're artists, and the way I look at it is like Logic. Like he did this whole grand scheme of retiring and all that. And I will tell you this, right? Like in this type of culture that we live in, we got way more people fucking with us when there was like shit happening, like between me, Cecil, and Star. Like on the Get Back episodes when we came back versus like now. You know what I mean? Like people love controversy. They love hearing the story and stuff like that.
I never fuck with you anyway.
That's fine. I'll live with that. You know what I mean? But even still, right? It's just crazy like how like I was thinking about that. Like we could be gone for like 2 or 3, months or whatever, come back and then like probably have the most highest views of all time.
Whole time,
yeah, for us, yeah, for us, but I mean, it's hard to go on this run, but it is what it is. All right, let's go ahead, move on to something else. I think I had a crazy ass story on here that I just like never got to. Read them and weep. My daughter separated from her husband, who rents a room from me. Oh, this is crazy. Recently, without telling her, he dropped her from his insurance. Now she wants me to kick him out, and she's mad at me because I refuse to do it. She says it shows I approve of his behavior. She tells me that he's no good. He used her, and he hit on her, and he hit on her girlfriend. She's threatening that if I let him stay, we won't be able to, we won't be close anymore. He pays me on time, and you knew this was coming. He pays me on time. I hardly ever see him because he works at night. I need the rent money, and he always gotten along great with me. I say this is my house, and I think if he decides he leaves, then what do you think? And I should decide if he leaves. What do you think? Now, let me ask you something. This is great. Same scenario, right? But now, and we know that there's probably no chance of this happening, but your significant other ends up living with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Would that bother you? That like your ex-significant other? Would that be like be grounds of, hey mom, what are you doing?
I'm the wrong person to ask this just because, but okay, let's just assume. I mean, I'm not living there, right?
No. You'd be okay, huh?
Yeah, given who I am and just my different statuses of relationships of all involved parties, like, go for it.
I feel like she's tripping because, like, when she said she hits on his girlfriend, I thought she was saying, oh, he hits me. I was like, all right, that's different. But she's like, if he just tried talking to your friend or whatever, or y'all just didn't work out, he's paying your mom money. He's paying her on time. You know who he is. It's not just some random stranger. You're saying this because you're just hurt.
Yeah. Feel like she chose up.
Yeah, like oh, kick him out because of the insurance thing or whatever. Like, bro, that's between you and him. He pays me all the time.
Like, you know me, so you know this is not the greatest question for me. But if I were to ask you that question,
I would be fine if she was here.
Okay.
At my mom's house. You know what I mean? Like, I would be okay. Plus, we have kids, so it's different. You know what I mean? Like for me, it would be convenient, especially, like, if I'm staying in the same spot I'm staying at now, we're not that far away from each other. So, you know, with that being said, like, it's convenient for me. I don't think she would have a problem the other way around either. I just feel like when you start getting to that bitterness of, like, divorce, breakups and stuff like that, you start, like, wanting, you know, people don't say this, but you want something bad to happen to somebody. Like, you know, bad habit, like, pull the rug from underneath them. Don't let them live here.
I don't know
here.
About bad.
I'm not talking about
death. I just want to make sure that I'm doing better than you.
Yeah, that's something
that,
bad.
That's bad. No, it's not. Because what if I'm doing great and you're just doing good? I don't want you to be doing bad. I just don't want to be doing worse than you are. Let's just say you're doing great and everything's fine. That's awesome. As long as I'm doing a little bit greater.
But great is living with her mom?
No,
but that's what I'm saying. She wants something bad to happen to this man.
But that's different, though. I'm just saying, like, at the end of a relationship, when you do the quick little check-in a few months later, a few weeks, or however you get down, a few weeks later, days later, like, well, who's she? What's she doing?
Yeah, I mean,
she out here living like all of a sudden she's back in the gym. She already dropped 6 pounds. That's crazy.
Now she starts doing yoga.
I'm over here eating ramen. And then now I'm like, no, I got to get back on it.
Her mom brought me the ramen down. I wonder where he's staying at. Like, if it's like a front casita or whatever, he'd be all right, man. You know,
you a casita.
Yeah, I do love the casitas, you know. Or if he just got a room in the house, like, come on, man. And here's the thing, what they don't say in here. I don't know if she, like, really messes with her mom and goes over her mom's house like that all the time. And they don't say if they have kids or anything like that either. So it's like, yeah, maybe it is bothersome. Like, hey, this is my mother. You know, I'm supposed to have her. I'm playing devil's advocate, but it is what it is. All right, man. You know what? Since we, like, neglected this the last few weeks, I'm just going to start out the gate with it. Shit you wasn't outside for. You remember getting dressed to see your crush at school?
I remember you, but I was getting dressed. When I was in school, I was getting dressed to get dressed to see everybody at school.
What was your go-to fit, though? Because, you know, like, our dress, I feel like the clothes are different now. My go-to back then was maybe, like, a white tee. A white tee was considered fresh, which now it is.
Yeah.
But designer shirts are just different. Yeah, they're smaller now.
And they have a V instead of a crew neck.
Did you wear jewelry?
Yeah.
You had a fake chain?
I did. It wasn't all the way fake. It was 92.5 or whatever that I'll tell you what, though, when Jeezy and Gucci was having their beef, right?
Oh, well, got it out the middle of the mall.
Yeah, that shit hurt on a different level. Because I thought I was at my prime right around that time.
Oh, man, like, I'm dying.
Yeah. It was the Jesus piece. Not like the regular Jesus piece, but, you know, the cubic zirconia'd out cross.
Yeah, okay.
I had a class ring.
Did you still have the cross?
Nah.
What happened to it?
I have no idea.
You used to wear the class ring? You're a nasty guy.
Yeah, wearing the class. You know, surprise, the different color studs.
Oh, man. He said the class ring.
And then
ring.
A throwback jersey.
That and did you used to cuff your pants too, huh?
You don't even cuff.
You never cuffed them ever?
Not really.
Did you ever throw the rubber bands on the end?
Nah, I didn't get there was that certain lane that you're going down with, like, the scrunchy socks.
Yeah.
And the big star earring. No, I didn't do none of that.
But at least the rubber bands, I definitely did that. I put the rubber bands at the end of my pants. That was my fancy belts.
Nothing like that. Just give me.
You said no digital belts?
I didn't have no belt. I don't even know if I owned a belt, period. No, I had to because them pants was big.
Yeah, it was like, yo.
But I think I had my very first belt I got. Not like that, but like I had a. They gave you a belt when you worked from SeaWorld. And I was rocking that one for like 3 years.
You know, I finally bought a belt for the first time in 10 years. Like, because I, you know, new job. I got a whole new, like, wardrobe and everything. But I was like, yo, like, the belt that I have, I've been rocking with it since, like, 2011.
As long as it works.
You functional. Know, I don't know. Exactly. But the one that I have is, like, you know, it's a golf belt, big Nike emblem on it. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go out there like this. What if I got on Puma one day? You know, you don't want to go out like that, man. But, okay, so I was just thinking, like in terms of getting dressed for your crush, I felt like I put a little extra sauce on if there was a girl that, like, I liked or I was trying to impress.
All right, so what if you did all that extra sauce and you showed up and she was absent that day?
I'd be sick. You know where I got that from? I got this from a meme.
A meme.
It was a kid. He was dressed up and everything, and he was like, he was all the way juiced up to the max. I go ahead and use that term. And they said, when you get all dressed up, like you said, and she's absent, you be like, God damn, I didn't put in all this effort. But he was looking crazy because he had, like, on a FUBU jersey, a liquor store hat, you know, all kind of wild shit. And the stuff that we used to think was, like, fly gear really wasn't fly. Like, when I go back and look at some, I had a yellow Tommy Hilfiger shirt on, Gray Forces, high top.
You know.
Quarter zip Tommy Hilfiger.
I think times is different. Everything, you know, I feel like there's gonna be a point where some of the stuff that came out after that is gonna be looked at as crazy. You looked at people from the 80s or, you know, some stuff in the 90s is crazy.
That style of dress is coming back, though. That's the crazy part about it.
That was the thing I noticed at the beach, too. I was like, yo, I think grills are back.
Yeah. Yeah. Think they've been back.
I don't know. I ain't been outside.
I've seen a few.
I don't be honest. I don't know.
The South is bringing it back.
No, but that's the South thing. I'm not talking about grills were like, no, that's your teeth. I'm talking about over here when it became more nationalized and people just had the grill where they put in for the day or the night or so. And I was at the beach like, oh, y'all got the caps back. All this is like, okay.
Yeah, they gonna bring fitted hats back. You gonna be able to pull them back.
I got a few out.
Why'd you laugh? I can't wait to bring them back. You gonna be walking around looking like Papoose. You know, you wear the big.
Yeah, man. He ain't never put it down. But that's different reason.
All right, here we go. The height of WWE. Now, this was crazy to me, right? Because I started thinking about this. Because WWE, World Wrestling, you know, Entertainment, I believe is what it stands for. WWF, World Wrestling Federation, ECW. I don't even know what that stands for. But there was a time where wrestling was, like at its peak. And I argue to myself now that I feel like that what's taken in place of that is UFC.
I feel like this conversation's, like, a decade old.
Bad.
UFC's not as big. Just how I view it, maybe just because I don't follow either no more, but I felt like UFC had, like, its biggest peak run, like, you know, around 10 years ago. That's when it started really, like, taking over, like, oh, this is, like, a big thing. Like, this is where people care about the fights. And that's more so relative to boxing because there was just more stars. And I feel they've been on the decline since. You know, at least the past 5 years. I don't watch. There's just too much to follow for UFC now, so I don't even bother. But yeah,
I think his treatment of, like, those guys has also been a big issue and
but,
stuff like
but
that.
But I don't know if I would compare UFC to WWF. I think that's more people think of UFC as, like, oh, this is alternate to boxing.
I think there was a good time, though, before, I mean, hell, even before, like, if you're saying UFC had its, like, really prime run 10 years ago.
There's a big
boxing's
gap.
Been off since the 90s.
Right, though. But I feel like WWF has been, then, like, way lower. Like, there was a big gap where nobody was, like, you know what I mean? And it, like, WWF was on the steady decline. UFC was steady coming up. But there was a big gap before you were like, oh, UFC's here. And it's taking over WWF. Like, nah, WWF been over.
But what I'm saying is that there was a height of it, though, where, like, we used to see people walk around with the Rey Mysterio mask, using the moves and stuff like that. Like, and it was fake. Like, let's just put it for what it is. It's not, I mean, it's real. Like, these guys really get hurt and stuff like that. They get banged up and they're entertainers and stuff, just like the rest of them. But, like, you know, the combat situations, you know, they're fake. You know what I mean? Like, people aren't, like, they're not wrestling at the hype, but it was, like, it sold. You know what I mean? Like
it was entertaining because they had great writing,
storyline. Yeah, and the characters were great. And let's be real. Like, The Rock is a product of that. The Stone Cold. What's the other dude's name that plays in all the military movies?
John Cena.
John Cena. And now it's like you're trying to search and find the next ones, but it's like that ship is sailed now.
Yeah, but see, I feel like it's been like, see, I left in like 02.
Yeah, me
like
too.
The Rock was kind of like on top or whatever. They have did.
As soon as I started liking girls, wrestling did not matter. No
they called it the Attitude Era, like 97 to 01, 02, 03-ish. And that's kind of like my peak of when I was around. I think after that, there were, you know, I kind of went to more ECW stuff just because it was a lot more niche and it was real. It was a lot more real. It was a lot more hardcore.
Which at the same time in that time period, you know what I mean? UFC was an active thing. You know, like...
No,
like,
yeah, UFC was active, but it wasn't nearly as big as it got to in like 09, 2010, 2011, up through...
What do you think sparked that? Lack of knockouts and boxing, probably.
They had the right stars. Mm. They had, you know, they had a reality show. The Ultimate Fighter was promoting that, but they were struggling up until a certain point. I started watching in like 09, and then so I don't have the most extensive history on it, but I'm around people that, you know, I've heard a lot of history and stories about it, and I was just like, okay, yeah. And then like I think Conor McGregor might have been its last, not the last star or whatever, but that was kind of when that peak was like, okay. They started losing a lot of stars. They started saturating the market.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think there was a large group of people like myself who just didn't want to keep up with all that. Like, I don't want to watch a fight every 4 days.
That's a lot.
It's like, yeah, it is a fight, so it can be entertaining. But if you only have, if there's 10 big stars, you can't expect them to fight once a month. That's just not, it's not feasible. And so when you have a once a month, if you have a once a month pay-per-view, like it was when I was watching, you could stack these cards and the whole night would be entertaining. You can really build a fighter, and then with everything that's surrounding it. And then like, you know, more money, the expansion came brought in, people came and bought the company. And for me, it just changed. So I'm not sure. I don't hear. I mean, there's like still maybe a few stars, but it's not like it was when I was watching it.
That's what I'm saying, because even for wrestling, right? Like even holding its value, there were times where like we wanted to get the pay-per-view for wrestling. You ask me about pay-per-view for wrestling now, I'm probably gonna laugh at you. You know what I mean? Wrestling had its
there's still a hardcore circle that still run around with all that, you know.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Show. Yeah. Are your kids interested in wrestling right now?
I don't think my kids know what that is. They like wrestling each other, but that's real.
That's the real deal right there. Nah, man, I was just thinking about that. So, yeah. Last one, Identikit cards. You had that on there.
Yeah, I figured you didn't know what that was.
No, I know what it is. Okay. I had one. Basically, it's like a California ID, but it's exactly what it is. It's California, but you know the numbers don't transfer over though, because I have not had the same number that I've had like for my driver's.
Like a lost and found ID for.
Do they
child.
Still do them?
I doubt it. I don't know. I don't know what they do in school.
What do you do when a kid gets lost now besides call the police?
Oh, you put.
No one knows.
Amber Alert. You put Amber them on Alert. The whole, big signs on the freeway.
But there is like, you know, because it makes me think too. Well, this is not up your lane, but people used to, you know, put like, you know, identification stuff on their luggage too. I don't see people doing that. It's the older generation. Younger generation, I keep my shit on me anyway, though. But the Identikit cards, yeah, I definitely had one. And I couldn't even tell you what it was for. It's not like I needed it, like, to get on an airplane or nothing like that. I don't think you even need that to get on a plane. You don't need it. Obviously, you don't look old enough to buy cigarettes if you're 14. You know, there's no reason
it's like a dog tag. It's like it's a lost and found.
Yeah, it's a cool
child.
Thing. And that shit never happens like that
I've
for the most part.
I've never seen it benefit anybody that had it. but because I didn't have much in the wallet, I was like, oh, cool. I got something to put
in. But you feel official when you got one, though.
It was something to put in the wallet next to my.
It felt great, though.
My $1.50.
It's like when your mom probably showed off her ID or whatever. You're like, oh, I got one of these. You know, it don't matter for nothing. But now you're making me want to go look it up. You know where yours are at?
No.
Where'd you.
I don't even remember how. I don't even know how I thought about it.
How'd you get on that subject in the first place?
I had no idea. It's not like I was talking to anybody else. I just said, oh, I remember that shit.
Okay, here we go. Child identification. Identikit child ID. Let's face it. Times have changed. The danger of a child being lost or abducted is very real and disturbing concern. for parents today. I'm not really disturbed or concerned if my kids get abducted. With Identikid, you can sleep a little easier at night with peace of mind that goes with knowing that you have taken proactive steps to keep your child safe. And every single time you open your wallet or look at the photos on your cell phone, your Identikid child ID card and eKid ID are reminders of the dedication and determination you have towards your child's safety. Yo, you know, this program has been around since 1986.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It seems like a 1986 program because the standards seem real low for the term proactive.
Dog, I definitely remember these. You got your eye. I mean, come on, man. Like, first of all, the kids losing the wallet before they even, like, you know, find it. You would probably find an Identikid wallet thinking that a kid's abducted and little Johnny just left it on the shelf at Walmart.
I mean, or if I'm abducting a child, I'm going to throw that shit out the window. And he's like, oh, I found it. He must be missing.
Hey, but then.
If this shit is on the freeway, because he don't have it. He know he carries it everywhere he goes. He must be missing. He carries it. He wouldn't leave the house without it.
I'm crying right now. Nah, but it helps, like, it's a landmark at least to let you know what direction that they're going in.
How?
If he throws it out the window, it's like, all right, bro, he took the 54. Like, yeah, like, and we knew exactly.
What if it's in the middle, though? You don't know if he's going east or west.
Oh, man, tough critic over here, man. Tough critic over here. All right, man, let's wrap it up, man. We'll get to something different, man. Random shit to fill in time, like, as if we hadn't been doing that already. How much are you spending on the first date? You saw that one on there, huh? Not be you. Be you.
Man, I haven't been on a first date in so long, though.
I watched The Shy. So, like, the first episode, it had me thinking, like, because, oh, dude, have you watched The Shy?
Yeah, you talking about the first episode of this season?
First season.
Oh, see, first season. I don't remember.
I'm not going to lie to you. I really don't like it. You know what I mean? I got to season two, and I was just like, oh,
that's fire.
People keep leaving, and I was like, oh, they keep writing off people, like, in, like, troubling ways.
Like, troubling ways? It's Chicago, man.
They're just speaking about it. Like, yeah, I had to kill that guy. I was like, yeah, he quit. Like, you know, something happened. Well, they fired him.
You don't always control all that, but I think they've given, because there was big things that happened to big characters that they had to write off that happened. You know, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so they had to ride around it, and they've been doing pretty good so far. But yeah, first date.
So my man's, you know, like, and this is you right now, right? Yeah. In a hypothetical sense, right? Is your wife still listening to our episodes?
I mean, she might be a little behind, but I
you eventually, huh?
The fact that I told her we had technical difficulties today, and yeah, she's like, she's probably off. We probably lost a listener.
That's fine.
But let's see. Our first date, it was a beach date that started at In-N-Out.
No, let's now. I want now. You now. Like, how much would you be willing to spend on a first date if you had to hit the market?
Fire to me.
Huh?
A beach date that starts at In-N-Out still fire to me. But let's see.
Is it fire because it's like a fire idea, or is fire for your pockets?
It's fire. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, we can go out here. Like, I don't know you.
Shut up!
But they got fresh ingredients here, though.
Fresh ingredients.
They got fresh ingredients here. And, you know, I need to get to know you before I decide how much to spend on a second date.
$70.
2021. That's probably fair.
Yeah. Okay.
That ain't bad. I mean, you probably can't go dinner and a movie.
Because, you know, like, I feel like as men, like, we control, like, you know, we have a lot of say-so in the beginning, at least, like, how things are going to go, because the expectation is for us to pay for it. So, like when my fiance now, like, I took her out wine tasting on our first little, you know, get-together. And I was like, am I overdoing it? Like, I'm probably that guy that's making it tough for the next dude if this doesn't work out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to make it that hard for the next guy if this doesn't work out. Turns out that it worked out, so wasn't that crazy. But I think between 70, it depends now too. Like, if you in a groove where you talking to multiple women, you can't just be out here doing $50 dates. You have to hit the In-N-Out special.
And I mean, maybe that's where I'm speaking from.
Let's talk, like, about it. We talk about it then. To be real, like, if I'm dating someone, there's at least a chance that I'm gonna talk to multiple people in the beginning.
Or you got to weed out people that's on your roster. You're like, oh, you know what? This one's kind of real.
The roster is a real deal thing. And you know what? The roster, speaking of the roster, because the roster will control your pockets, right? The roster will also control
you can like, freak your it movement. Right, though.
You said what?
But see, I grew up in an era where you could freak it right. There wasn't a whole lot of dating anyway. Because we got away with that term, oh, we just talking?
Men.
Yeah. No, women get that off too.
Now, yes. Women have rosters now, but I feel like
I'm talking about the term just talking.
Yeah.
So it's not official. So we're not doing a lot of dating, and we're hanging out. And we also got to a certain age where we were coming up during the economic recession.
Mm.
And so there were, I think maybe that kind of exacerbated that whole situation where it was like, yo, like times is hard for everybody.
Yeah.
So we over here, we chilling. You know, we can go to In-N-Out, hang out. Watch a movie at my house, your house, or whatever, and
that was the best time for me.
Do what we do
because like, there's no expectations. Yeah. We were broke then anyway.
As long as that's where you know you got to be able to hold a conversation. You got to be able to keep things interesting without doing all that other shit.
Right.
Like, yo, I probably don't got to talk to you as much if I take you on a helicopter ride because you're just like, oh, I'm up here. I ain't never done some shit like this. Of course, you know I'm gonna give him some, but it's like, nah, like I got to talk you out of it. You gotta get these jokes. You gotta understand.
No, for sure.
This is easily. What it is.
Easily. I just think that I get it. Like if you got a roster, bro, don't spend more than 30 to 40. You know what I mean? I've never been that guy because it's so much to juggle. Like that, like that's just way too much. I couldn't do it.
I had time back in the day. I really didn't. Maybe I just found some understanding folk.
So you was bringing up something earlier about like the recession and everything and being in this and like how much money you got on you. You remember your hours being cut, like just being from that ilk of like having to go look at your schedule?
I remember growing up, yeah. I remember when I was under, when you're a minor, you can only work so many hours per day, like on a school night.
It was like 4 or 5 or something.
It was like 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
And so I was working at the restaurant as a minor, but I also like, Mom told me straight up, like, I'm not, you know, you paying for your own college, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't have a whole lot of guidance as far as student loans I wasn't getting, you know, good enough for any grants or any type of scholarships at the moment. So I was like, damn, I just got to work. So I was working as much. I was taking every shift I could, you know, and back then people were just lazy. Like, yeah, I'll give you my shift for nothing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I worked 6 days a week, like a year straight. But then it was always kicking me out early because I was under 18.
Mm.
And I'm like, come on, man. Ain't nobody snitching. Like, I'm broke. I need this extra hour and a half. I got straight A's. My homework is fine.
Mind nobody, you, that's like $12. Like, it's like, at that point,
ain't nobody like... calling you. And then, yeah, man, I couldn't wait till summertime where that restriction got lifted. And then, like, I got 18. And that was the thing, too. I went to college when I was 17. I was like, nah, ain't no way you're going to kick me out in 4 hours. I'm a grown-ass man in college.
Yeah.
like, come on, man. And, yeah, so hours being... So my hours, I wouldn't say they ever really got cut because I feel like when it came time to cut hours, I was always one of the people they wouldn't cut because of the work ethic I had. They saw me picking up extra shit.
But you remember that being on the table,
that
though.
That was the thing.
Yeah. Like
people was cutting out. Now, I'm also talking about jobs where maybe it's more likely to get hours cut, but that never really happened to me because I knew when it came time for something like that, like, oh, they're going to be cutting these people that don't really want to be here.
That unpredictability used to kill me, though. Like in your mind, before the schedule came out, you had a certain like hour amount in your head that you calculated your money with, and they didn't knock you down, man. Maybe 5 or 6 hours my or something like that.
My first job was at Champs, and I swear it was under the table, but they gave me a paper that looked like a real check. Because I'm looking at this thing, there's a minimum wage. I was like, man, I feel like it's a little higher than this. But, man, that was the biggest hour. Now, remember, this is my first job, so I'm hungry. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Where
was this at?
Champs at Plaza Bonita.
Okay. Right, so when you first walk in.
I'm thinking I got a real job. I'm going to have a steady paycheck. I can start, you know.
Do you consider Champs a real job now?
No, I'm about to tell you how it went. I'm already scouting my chain in the middle of the mall.
Yeah.
And I get there. Man, it was like week after week. I had to call on Sunday night. Is there any hours open for me? Oh, not this week. I would go like 2-3 weeks with no hours.
Why do they do that?
Because I don't know what happened. I was like, man, am I a bad worker? Like, they're not telling me why. And I just try to show up and work as hard as I can so they notice and give me a few more. And maybe, you know, Champs isn't the most popping store.
It's at not. Least
when I was, like, it never, you know, because you had to complete with Finish Line, Foot Locker.
Finish Line always got the colors.
And then so it was like, you know, it wasn't always the busiest. And then they had that same damn loop. I'm guessing anybody that works retail where they have that same shit on loop on the TV, was listening to Ja Rule New York like 10 times a shift. And I was only there like 3 hours. But yeah, I was working. I would go 2-3 weeks with no hours. And then I'd get like 2 or 3 days in a row. And I'm like, all right, work as hard as I can. Can I get some more hours? And there wasn't nobody dropping shifts because they didn't have a whole lot of employees because it wasn't the most busy store. And then there was a time where they just... I would call on Sundays and they say no, no, no. And after like 6-7 weeks, I'm like, yo, I don't think I work there anymore. And they just don't want to tell me.
Did they ever call you after that?
Nah.
Oh, so you didn't work there.
And they knew the owner's son I went to high school with.
And they just cleared you off the books.
And I'm just like, yeah, I don't really fuck with you like that anyway, but whatever. Yeah, they cleared me off the books.
That's crazy. So then, all right, we talking about, you know, jobs, hours being cut. We just going all the way down the lane now. So I was talking to this lady at my job today, and what we were talking about more specifically is that job loyalty is gone, right?
Oh, yeah. People are moving a lot faster.
Yeah, she said that, like, you know, but I told her that it... She said it had a lot to do with millennials just feeling like, you know, they wanted to be more well-rounded and stuff, or they just get, you know, sick of things fast. I told her that it was more so probably also jobs not offering like better, like great benefits. You know what I mean? Like on the back end, like you think like if a job offered you a really good match on a pension and stuff like that, that you would just, you know, that you would stay. Well, I think you would stay, though. You're part of that ilk.
I mean, it's a bunch of different factors. I think you're both right. But we're also, as millennials, we did come up during the recession where you know, might have got thrown out and had to do your own thing and figure things out.
Right.
Or you were jumping from job to job because they just couldn't hold on long enough, or they couldn't sustain that many employees. So there was like a lot more layoffs. There, you know, our parents' generation had it so good for so long, or just America in general when it comes to that. That they kind of look down on us, not realizing why. They call us lazy. They call us, you know, whatever. But it's more so it's like, nah, y'all had it so good for so long. We have to pay for that now because of the shit that y'all did and set up wasn't exactly the best way to go about things. And now we have to learn. We have to pay for the mistake.
Have you seen that? There's a new movie out on HBO Max called like No Sudden Move or whatever with John Cheadle. Or Don Cheadle?
Nah.
So it's about... You think you ever watch it, or I could just say...
I like Don Cheadle. Sound like something I want to watch.
So basically, it's about the auto industry.
Okay.
And...
A little less likely to watch.
Well, it's about the Earth, though, too. So
okay, I like the Earth.
Yeah, so... All right, let me just tell you, because maybe you end up watching it. So anyway, like, it's about the mob and, like, the big four, which is Ford, GM, all okay, those guys. Yeah. And so, like, they were, like... trying to like get the contents in the safe, right? And the contents in the, and this goes about what you were saying, the contents in the safe was basically like scientific facts that like, yo, the American automobile is killing pollution in LA in the 50s. And so like they're doing all they can for years trying to cover this up. So like this was one instance about this, how they were all like, you know, a part of this. Matt Damon ends up being at the end of the in the movie too at the end. And that's where I got on my whole Brendan Fraser thing, because he was in the movie too, which was crazy. But anyway, the whole point of that, the reason why I bring that up is because that was a time where, you know, your job offered you something, pensions, a vehicle maybe to take home, right, and all those other things. And that's the time period that you're talking about.
Because back then, you know, we're living longer than we've ever lived.
Right.
And so those types of programs are a lot more expensive when it comes to a pension or health care. They can't afford. People are supposed to be dying 5 years after they left work.
Mm.
And now they're living 30 years. It's not sustainable.
Right.
So that's when you do things like introduce a 401k. Like, okay, y'all do that. Right. No more pensions. And, you know, we look at Social Security. That's that's continuing to fail because there's not enough people working to support the baby boomer generation that's retiring. You know, they're always talking about Medicare cuts and this and that. And it's just, it's broken. And they just keep putting Band-Aids on it because a lot of politicians aren't looking that far into the future. They only look towards their next election. So I can't do some short-term pain for the benefit of how things should be, because that short-term pain will get me out of office, because everyone will feel it and be like, that's his fault or her fault. And I'm not going to be here for the benefits of what they did. And so, nah, damn that. Get out of my office. Let's get somebody in there. Just keep putting Band-Aids on it. And, you know, sooner or later, the cut don't stop bleeding and you need stitches.
Right.
And people, they just like the Band-Aid situation. And that's why you kind of go, you got to rebuild this shit from the ground up in a lot of areas.
No, that's absolutely correct. And I was just thinking about, like, that job. And I'm loyal to my job for now. You know what I mean? There will be a time period where I'm sure that I'll get tired of it and I want to do something different. But that also comes with me, like, kind of changing up where I'm at right now and just, like, really being more open to it. I think my dad's the same way, too. I think he's only...
And similar to the recession being so unstable, now what we did see during the pandemic where things are very unstable, we grew up, we're a lot more geared towards entrepreneurship than going to school. Because all generations before us told us to go to school, get good grades, go to college, graduate, get a good job.
There's risk involved with that I feel like
people need to start talking. And that just doesn't happen the same way it does.
I feel like people need to talk more about that, though. Healthcare is a problem, right? If you're going to have to pay for it on your own out of pockets, either you're just not going to deal with that or deal with, like, high emergency room costs, whatever it may be. You know what I mean? And some people are willing to do that and just bank in that they'll be healthy or whatever. But, boy, if you're wrong. You know what I mean? It's over. And that's what I always thought about. You have kids. Like a lot. Like, if you're not going to have kids, all right, that makes sense. But, you know, they're going to need dental, you know, medical, all that other stuff. And that's where shit kind of get in perspective. I'm sure you was, like, wanting to be an entrepreneur at some point. Listen, and realized that regular 8 to 5 is like, yo, it's going to give me all the stuff I need to sustain a family.
I mean, I'm still relatively young. There's still moves being made. But, you know... Yeah, the biggest thing I think about it when making that leap is the benefit side. Working where I work, I have one of the better benefits packages. I'm still blessed to have a pension. It's not the greatest pension, but it's still a pension. I still have access to a bunch of other stuff, but the biggest thing is healthcare, especially when you have a full family.
Right.
Now, I'm the type that doesn't go to the doctor that often, or, you know, I'm relatively healthy. So maybe they're getting the best of it for right now. But at the same time, you know, I had what I presume to be a very expensive baby delivery a few years ago.
Right.
And I didn't have to come out of pocket for that shit.
Which is great.
And you know, but seeing what the bill was, like, oh, that's crazy. We had to stay an extra couple of days. I was like, nah. And that's just, it's a big thing. People can't go out there and do their own thing because of that. But then again, there's also a lot of jobs that don't offer that good of insurance anyway. So it's like, shit, even though I'm loyal to the job for the basic copay stuff, if some real shit happens, it's still on me. So I might as well take the leap. But yeah, there's just a bunch of factors. And there's a big generation gap in perspective on what's really going on outside, because it was a certain way for so long.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing that I got up on here then, the top 5 things that parents say to their kids that could be emotionally damaging to them.
I didn't see that one. I would have thought about this a little more.
No, I got it. I got the five.
You're gonna say
some of these you can be like, nah, that's crazy. Am I really that guy? I was like, oh, let me hit the hand clap real quick so that we can go ahead and get official. So the top 5 things that parents say to their kids that could be emotionally damaging for them. All right, first things first, it's not a big deal.
Oh, man, I might have said that 4 times before I got here.
Today, it's like, it's not really that, which, so I got this from, like, a parenting magazine, and I feel like it more caters to white people in the first place, because there's certain shit that you got to be like, as a black person, you got to be able to tell your kids, like, look, it's not a big deal. Like, the shit you tripping over, like, it's going to be a lot worse for you as you get older.
Okay.
You hear her crying right now?
Yeah.
Not a big deal. She don't even know it. So,
but you're emotionally damaging her.
Who, me?
Yeah, you're a bad parent.
I guess I just let them know that. I guess it's what? Not validating their problems?
Yeah, you know, you have the right to feel your feelings.
Let me ask you this. So then when
Am I about to feel like a bad dad when you're reading all this stuff?
Probably, because I got a question for you anyway. So when G couldn't make his free throws and he was upset that day, was that a right time to tell him it's not a big deal and not validate his feelings? It's hard in that instance, right? Because it really's not a big deal.
I feel like I didn't say that. I didn't say that in that situation.
You never said it then. I was just saying like
no, but I say that phrase a whole lot. It's a staple in my house. Oh, like shit. I feel like my welcome mat before you kick your shoes off. That's what it says. Oh shit,
you ain't gonna like number two then. Number two, go. We get you really fired. He was ready to go until I got to this list.
I'm ready. Yeah.
You never, or you always do X, Y, Z. You never do what I ask you to do.
All these, I think, are said on the daily.
Yeah. What is the other one? You always do X, Y, and Z. You always do some shit that I always... Yeah. Yeah, and it always starts there. And I guess, like, the other part is it's irrational to sit here... Because I have the same argument with my fiance about this, but it's irrational to sit here and say, like, oh, you always do X, Y, and Z when that may not be the case.
I feel like it's the case when it comes to them kids. I literally don't give them this because, you know, this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
This one I know you ain't really getting off right now. You make me sad when you do that.
She gets that off.
Does she really?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you feel I don't feel like that one's a big deal. Like, you make me, it's like you expressing like your emotion of like.
Yeah, well, why, how come, we can't invalidate their feelings, but if I try to get those feelings off to them, I'm a bad person.
Now it makes me like sound like I don't give a shit at all. Let's see this next one. You should know better. And now if I've had to tell you 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, that's when I throw that out there. G, it's the same. It's just different wording. G, you are 5 years old.
Like, we've been through this like plenty of times. All right, here we go. That's the last one. Just let me do it.
I mean, man, hey, time is like, we got shit to do.
Like, I tell you what, the other one is, and you probably have to deal with this with your youngest son, is getting up the stairs slowly. Like, bro, I need you to hurry up and get up and down these stairs a little better.
Oh, no, I don't have to deal with that at all.
Yeah, I'm going to pick you up. Like, we got to go. Like, I ain't got time for this right now. Or I could do it. You don't. No. Just I got it. I'm going to take care of it.
I'm not so much in that one. I do encourage them to try to do things. Except, okay, so... Actually, no. Specific example, when they try to put the water in their own cup.
Yeah.
I know that shit going to spill and it's going to irritate me. That's the one. Yeah, let me do it.
Yeah, I got it.
Because every time, you always do this. You feel it way too much
you
to the top.
You always do
exactly.
This.
Exactly. So I throw them all you in at one time. You should know better. You throw it all the way to the top, not giving, leaving no room for the cap. And when the cap goes on, shit go everywhere. Come on, G. And no, but the most frustrating part about it is he want to remember and have the greatest memory for everything else. And it's like amazing. Like, damn, he's really soaked stuff up. He can memorize lyrics on like half of a listen, like at least the melodies. But you cannot remember that you ain't supposed to do this. The simplest shit. I don't ask for much.
Just remember that you're not supposed to do this.
Nah, man.
Everything else is a bonus. All right, man. So look, we're going to keep it short today. I think, what is it? Hour 10. You got anything for 3 cheers? I ain't got the phone, so you got it.
You ain't got the... Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the claps. Clap, someone
hit me up a few weeks ago when we were talking about... Oh,
shit. We got to play something here. Bring it back.
So we ain't done.
Yeah, we not. I got to get my 3 cheers in. Go ahead. You go ahead. Somebody hit you up. It's my 3 cheers.
About the favorite hip-hop voices when we were doing that conversation. And they were like, oh, dang. Like, you don't fuck with no ladies. And I was like, oh, you know what? Usually if I have this conversation, there is definitely someone I put in there as one of my favorite voice. And that's Queen Latifah. I think she has the best female hip hop voice of all time. And I was leading that into the 3 cheers because she recently got the Lifetime Achievement Award at the BET Awards.
Did she?
Yeah. And then I think the other lady voice I would probably rock with right under her would be Eve.
Eve?
Eve, yeah. As far as hip hop voices,
she glasses.
She recently spanked Trina in the verses.
Oh, you watched that one?
I watch all the verses.
I haven't watched the verses, man, in a pretty long time, man. I ain't gonna even lie to you, man. I wish I had time for it, man. So
now you better than me.
Who, me? Now you better than me.
It's a date. It's a date night in my house.
Oh, did like to actually do it? Outside is open, man. That's why. Like, if they had it like at a bar or something, I'd watch it.
Like a Wednesday, Thursday evening. I've been in that house
for a full year, man.
Wednesday, Thursday evening.
So I'm gonna let you get that off.
The gas tax is up. We ain't going out.
I gotta get this out. Shout out to my man LL3. You know Lewis Lake?
Oh no, I don't think so.
Possibly, man. If I showed you a photo of him, I think he went to SCBA for a little bit. But Lewis Lake has a new song out. Okay. And I like it. So,
that's gonna be the outro. Okay.
So I didn't want to get her out of here like that. Shout out to Queen Latifah. I don't want to just get her out of there. But shout out to Lewis. He just released this really good song. I really like it. I think it's for the kids. You can play it anywhere. It got mad Prince vibes. I'm gonna just go ahead and play it.
Don't say that.
That ain't it. That ain't it. Way different.
Yeah, it's definitely not Big Pimpin'.
No, it's not.
Baby chillin', soakin', pullin', this in one fell swoop, lady showin' out, cause I got range, I'm blockin' in place, why is it so strange, the galaxy has gotten me to your grace, I'm flying off in this race, I know this, so-